Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that is coming forth. I thank you, Father, that your spirit of grace is here. I thank you for the teacher. I thank you, Father, that you're giving us greater revelation of who we are, and where we're going. Because it is because of your spirit that rests upon us, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so we shall come unto you and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Send me. So, Father, I thank you for this word that's going to go forth and be delivered into the hearts and the spirits of those that hear it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The scripture has been coming to my mind. He's going to teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. What we're experiencing is apostolic reformation. And I want to share a little bit about an article that I received not too long ago that's going to help continue to define who we are as a regional center and inevitably a national center and beyond, international center. And I'm going to read through some of this, but I'm going to just go ahead and have you listen very carefully, because then I'm going to pull in some scriptures that tie into this as well. But he's training us. And it's in the area of spiritual warfare. It says the violent take it by force. And we cannot be passive with our faith anymore. We cannot just sit back and say, well, one day in the by and by, God's going to send revival. But we have to go after it and be available, everybody, assuming that place that God has for us. So I'm just going to read through some of this because I think it's going to really help you all a lot, as it did me. There is a growing change that is sweeping across the church world today. It is an apostolic reformation, and it is dramatically changing the way we function individually and corporately as we see the office of the apostle restored. One of the revelations being restored during this reformation is a revelation regarding an aspect of the Lord's character. He is called Lord of Hosts. In 1 Samuel 4:4, Isaiah 1:24, Isaiah 2:12, in fact, over 245 times. And that is three times more than any other name that he is called. Strong's Concordance says in the Old Testament, Saba, or the feminine Sibaba, it means a mass of persons organized for war, an army by implication, a campaign. The King James Version tells us it's an appointed time, army, a battle, a company, a host, a service, soldiers. And so our God is the Lord of the armies. There is a call going out through the body of Christ in this day for us all to get in rank and file. The army is being formed up. It is a reformation. And it is occurring as the office and gift of the apostle is being recognized and received in the body of Christ. In the military, there is order. There is discipline. And an understanding of authority. All of these things are necessary for us to learn to move as one man. And for those of you that have served in the military, you know what I'm speaking of because you've experienced it. And the army of God is being reformed. And what he's doing is he's causing us to move as one man. According to Nehemiah 8:1, to impart this understanding and build teamwork, soldiers go through a rigorous training regime. Each soldier understands the importance of working together and teamwork. Teamwork. There are great changes sweeping the body of Christ today. As we understand more of this aspect of the Lord's character, we'll see and be a part of these changes as the church functions in this anointing that the Lord is calling us to function in. The corporate teamwork is also going to be within communities. It's going to work with communities, cities, nations, and internationally. To accomplish this fivefold, leaders will take on more of the characteristics found in good military officers. Good military officers exhibit the characteristics of servant leadership. They lead by example. They never ask their people to do what they don't do or have not done themselves. They take care of their people, train them, equip them, challenge them, and prepare them for warfare, both physically and mentally. I believe the fivefold ministry gifts that are part of this apostolic reformation will prepare their people spiritually, mentally, and physically so that we might make disciples of all nations. There'll be a greater care and concern for the stewardship of the gifts and callings within the people of God and within their lives so that they will realize that they cannot reach maturity without that fullness of God being expressed within us, according to Ephesians 4:16. We cannot do this without each other. They really will seek to help each of you become what God has called you to be. It will not be about building their ministry any longer. If you'll join me in this, if you know from military and from people that you've known that have been military, you observe in the military that junior officers think in terms of tactics. They love to fight. Senior officers, however, generals and admirals, have to see the big picture. They have to think and act strategically, governed by the Holy Spirit in these things. Those with the apostolic gifting will think strategically. Check out this historical study on the Greek word that we have translated apostle. Strategic thinking requires a leader to think in terms of intelligence, operations, communication, supply, and mobility. See, it's no longer where we just come to church and sit back. We're being mobilized to go out because we're going to be equipped and trained and have a holy confidence upon us to go forth in the anointing of God in the area that He has placed within you, that gifting and that calling. This is the equipping of the Lord for us in this time, in this hour. To rise to the rank of admiral or a general requires that you attain a certain level of administrative skills, as you have to not only lead your people, but you also have to provide for them and coordinate their interaction with other units as they engage the enemy. See, this is going to be with other churches too. Other pastors, other apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. It's going to be a group effort, a teamwork. No more ours. These are mine. These are yours. You can't touch them. It's going to be one body as the Lord has called us to be. Another term for this kind of administration is operations. The Apostle Paul was known as a wise master builder. He laid the foundation for others to build upon. He saw strategically and laid a foundation that others could build upon. When you consider Paul in the epistles, he worked with Timothy, Titus, and others. We think of him as a general contractor coordinating the gifts of the subcontractors. This is very similar to what an admiral or general does. Only they coordinate their various units to engage an enemy with an overall strategic plan. Again, he's teaching our hands to war and our fingers to fight. And it's through the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. The enemy flees when you are a worshiper and you have God's word in your heart. Peter Wagner of Global Harvest Ministries has this to say regarding the apostolic reformation. New forms and operational procedures began to emerge in areas such as local church government, interchurch relationships, financing, evangelism, missions, prayer, leadership selection, and training, the role of supernatural power, worship, and other important aspects of church life. It's got to be alive. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there, it's going to be alive. You're going to experience so much joy in expressing the Spirit of Christ that is within you and the giftings and the callings being released out of you. Hence, I believe that we will keep seeing changes sweep through leadership and the church as there comes a greater understanding of the need for strategic thinking, new operational and administrative disciplines, in other words, prophetic administration, communication procedures, servant leadership, teamwork. We are going to do what we can to encourage, support, and equip you to grow into the army of God. And I'm going to share out of 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. So you, my son, be strong, strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. And the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. Take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. 2 Timothy 2:19. But the firm foundation laid by God stands, sure and unshaken, bearing this seal, inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it, far from it. This is such a time of our pursuing the Lord and his righteousness and his holiness and removing ourselves from sin and anything that may ensnare us, the force of darkness. You need to separate yourself from anybody that is going to be speaking against the word of God. It tells us here. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying controversies, over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Have no part in it. Have no part in it. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contentious. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient. 1 Corinthians 13 begins with love is patient. And there's an endurance that we're going through. There's a fire that's consuming us so that all the dross within us will come up. But then in that, he's going to remove all of that. So there's nothing in you that Satan can get a hold of, because you're going to walk in love and joy unspeakable, faith, reverence of the Lord. The gateways of your spirit are going to be opened up. You're going to have reverence, fear of the Lord, worship, faith, hope. All of these being opened up from the spirit of Christ that is within you, because your first love is him. And when you love him, he loved us. He loved us before we even knew to love him. He loves us. Even when we were in sin and separated from us, he loves us. And he loved us. When we were in our iniquities, he loved us. We were in our shame and our guilt and our filthy rags. He loved us. He loved us. And we, in turn, are to call upon him and allow that love to be magnified in our hearts, to be so rooted and grounded in that love. Love is patient. And there's an endurance that we're going through, a perseverance, a long suffering, even for those that are loved ones or backslidden or not walking with God. There's going to be the transformation of the character of Christ that's going to be formed in them. They're going to come into such a place of repentance. They're going to see that they left their first love, which was the Lord God, that perfect love that comes only from our Creator. So we're to flee from all evil. fighting, contentious, and walk in peace, the bond of peace. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it. And that they, for some of you that are standing in the gap for family members or friends or those that you love, your neighbors, care about, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him, henceforth to do God's will. Hallelujah. He's teaching our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.